Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
All right, so this week we are here to talk again about the adventures on the Salarian Islands, and I am joined this week by Flawful Jared. Say hello, Flawful Jared.
Hello, Flawful Jared.
Hey, there we go. Mitch is not joining us this week, but we have an excellent episode, some very interesting things, some plot twists happened this week in the Salarian Islands that may or may not affect how you guys go forward with this campaign. And so we'll dive right into it. Last time we talked about how there was this gang of misfits who had these red and yellow masks on, and they created all of these explosions in the city, and you guys ended up finding these little green vials of gas on their bodies. And you had talked about how, oh, we need to, you know, Mount Vallow had been an option in the past, and nobody really was like, hey, this is something you should chase after, we're not willing to pay you anything. So you guys went and did your own thing. Well, now you guys have this evidence that points you to go back to Mount Vallow. And so Harlan Planer, the guy that we've talked a little bit before, he's kind of this mysterious guy who knows a lot about who Alzog is and doesn't know a lot about who Alzog is, and sends you on these wild goose chases to go and find things for him. Well, he calls you guys back into his office. And so you guys are there, and he basically says, this green gas comes from Mount Vallow. And what else did he tell us about what we would find over at Mount Vallow?
He was pretty insistent that throughout the conversations we had had with him in the past, that there was nothing but addicts there and lowlifes and people that weren't any benefit to society. And when we would try to get more information from him, that's pretty much all he would ever share. But suddenly we found these green gas vials, and that's where he thought we should go, and that's kind of where we thought we should go.
Yeah, it was kind of that evidence that he was like, okay, it may have been an option before, but now we have the solid evidence that points us to go and talk to the people from Mount Vallow. And he gave you a name, one Mr. Javeris Farah, and he was known as the man behind the whole trafficking of this gas that you don't exactly know what it does, but it's something that these people had on them. And so you guys hopped on a ship, you got a few things from Admiral Notley before you left, you got on a ship, you went to the city of Olaco on the island of Vareas, and you made your way over, and you found this little colony. And what did this colony look like when you guys walked up to it originally?
So it's at the foot of this mountain, and there's these, like, I don't know, cracks or caverns in the ground that are letting up this green gas. And really all we see are these tents and just attics just kind of laying around, soaking up the fumes.
Yeah, some of them are laying down. Some of them have their faces like over these vents. And you made your way through, and it's just this like weird place of almost like despair. Like, you just see these people that are, they can't really do anything but try and get more of this stuff. And so you keep walking through, and you see this really, really nice tent set in like the middle of this colony. And you walk up, and something very interesting happens to Caesar and the rest of the group. Outside of this tent, there's a couple of thugs that are more or less bodyguards for this Javeris Farah guy. And what did they want you to do in order to be granted a presence with Javeris?
They wanted us to pay them, right? Well, it was 10 or 25 gold a piece just to get into the tent.
Yeah, for each person.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And which is money that, I mean, we probably had, but my character doesn't want to pay them, and nobody else's characters wants to pay them. And it's just, you know, in the first place, we know we're supposed to go here because of the green gas vials. And we walk up here, and there's attics all over the place, and there's this tent, and it's right in the middle of the road. So there's no there's no question about where we need to go.
It's like the road leads right to this person. Like, he did it very much on purpose. Like, if you were going on this road, you would find him.
Right.
That was kind of the deal.
We're dealing with dealers and what we believe to be terrorists of sorts who are, you know, blowing up buildings in the city. And so no part of any of us wants to pay these thugs who are killing people and dealing to people.
Yeah, and so you went in there and you meet this guy, Javeris, and he's got like this black trench coat with this blue lining on it. He's got like the slicked back hair and like the scar on his face. And so he's kind of like a tough looking dude like you'd kind of expect. And he's a complete jerk to every single one of you. He's got this annoying voice. He's just kind of like pushing you guys around, trying to make you like intimidated by him a little bit. And you're trying to like figure out what's going on. Are you behind this? What's going on? We found these vials, this, that, and the other thing. And eventually something else happened with your group. You did something as Caesar that absolutely sent everyone over the edge.
Right.
What did you end up doing?
So this Javeris, he's a complete jerk, and we're trying to intimidate him. He's trying to intimidate us, and he's just not giving us much information, but he sort of opens up, it seems, and he gives us some information. And his basically deal that he makes with us is that because we came in and we didn't pay and we didn't have the gold to pay his thugs, that in order for that information and his cooperation, we were going to have to take drugs to the island we had just came from and basically deliver a shipment. And so there was this moment where all of the us at the table are sort of talking about whether we're willing to do this. And some of the people in our group are thinking, well, we're just going to kill him. We don't like this guy. He's a jerk.
Right.
Mitch's character, Bors, he doesn't like him at all. And so my thinking is, well, I don't want to have this fight with all of these people inside a tent. I'd like some more space. I'm a rogue, so I want to be able to run away and shoot people and not die.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And so I agree to deliver the drugs, and I grab sort of my sack, and I walk out.
Yeah, you
out.
Had three sacks that you had to take, and so you took one, and two other people took them. Yep.
And so I took them while the whole group's saying, no, we need to kill this guy. We're not going to deliver drugs. We're not drug dealers.
Right.
And so I walk out, and I get about 10, 15 feet from the tent, and I just drop my sack and turn around and really just ready to release an arrow at whoever comes at me.
Yeah. And what happened when you dropped that bag, though? Because that was really interesting when you dropped it. What did all of the addicts that were in the colony do at that point in time?
Yeah. So all of these addicts hear this noise or they see this commotion, and some of them are probably paying attention anyway as to what's going on because they probably don't see a whole lot of people. And when they do, I imagine it's usually trouble for them. And so they're paying attention, and they see this, and they just go crazy. And whether they want the drugs or they're just mad that the drugs have been basically wasted, they just come running.
Yeah, because you guys had learned that Javeris, these people would pay for their protection from him, from the government, because you're not supposed to be under the influence of this gas. And so they pay for his protection. He's a large enough enterprise that the government doesn't really mess with him. They just kind of let him do his thing. There's probably some paying off going on under the table. And they hear this and it breaks. And so whether it was they wanted the drugs or it was like if they see anything like this, they're supposed to react in this way. It was just a very bizarre scenario because now you have Javeris and his thugs that are trying to kill you guys. And you have all of these addicts that now, I mean, hundreds of them are starting to run at all of your general direction. And so this battle ensues where Maglath and Solas are doing the battle with a couple of the guys in the tent, and Caesar and Hanta are working on taking Javeris out, and you guys get him all the way down to like no health. He's unconscious on the ground. And what ends up happening at that point?
I don't know if it was a shout or something, but I think basically somebody shouts, stop.
Enough is what somebody shouted. Yeah.
And enough of these drug addicts sort of just stop. And so we as this group who are fighting off this horde of drug addicted people and these guards, these thugs, we eventually stop to see what's going on. And then somebody who looks a lot like Javeris walks up to me and Hanta, who are at his body because we're trying to kill this guy. And he basically walks up to Javeris, dressed and looking just like Javeris,
mm-hmm.
and stabs him or cuts his head off or something, beheads the guy.
Yeah, he kills him, yeah. Yep.
And that is when I think the night turned from, okay, let's try and figure things out, until to the rest of the night, even from this point, and unrelated things, was just confusion, which
was
really
just like, what in the world is going on? Who can we believe? I think you guys were pretty sure that this was the actual Javeris, because he went on and explained, like, okay, we knew you were coming. We saw you coming from a ways away. You wouldn't think that we were dumb enough to have the actual Javaris there. And so it seems like there's some sort of like body double going on and whatnot. And so he goes on and explains to you that what you know probably isn't actually true. And he goes on to explain about how the government is corrupt and they shouldn't be trusted. And you're not exactly sure if he's telling the truth or if it's just one of these things like he's a drug lord. Like you don't know what kind of tale he's going to spin or what he's going to try and get you to believe. But he eventually ends up letting you guys go. He's a lot less annoying than the now dead Javaris. So you guys are like, okay, he's kind of an all right guy. And you start heading back towards the city.
Right.
And so you get on your boat from the city of Olaco. You sail back across the ocean. You get back to the island of Mortendale. And what happens when you pull back into the ship?
Right. So this whole time, we as a group are trying to figure out what's going on. And I, as a player, and I believe my character would too, are really suspicious of not Javaris as much anymore, but of the government and some of the things that he's saying. And some of the things that he said made me think that coming back to the city might not be a good idea. And so I'm ready. But as the boat is approaching the docks, there's, what is it, 10?
12
yeah. Solarian knights there, and they're just decked out in, I'm guessing, full plate and just beautiful armor.
Yeah, full plate. It's like golden armor. They're the guys that get called in for the last resort. Like, they're known as the toughest of the tough guys. If they're there, something big is going down. And so we had this moment where it's like you guys had this like in weird idea that the captain was up to no good. And so you had like the sneaking through his quarters originally when you guys were on your way out there. And so some of you guys were just like, oh, he's got these weird maps and these notes and things like that. Some of us think that the captain is probably who they're coming after. You didn't necessarily knew that. And with your Camilo character, you can transform. You can have like a shapeshift into something of similar size. So you shapeshifted into this halfling looking guy that also was on the boat. So right. It kind of looked like there was two of you, and they board the boat, and they're not going after the captain. The captain is fine in their mind. Who are they really going after?
Well, yeah, they're going after us as a group. And so, mm-hmm. you know, six, at least I think of them, surround Bors and Solas. So this bard and his companion, and yep. they just surround them. And I think I'm pretty good at this point. I have chosen to change like physical form into the form of this halfling. And most of the group can do that. Hanta, he's another Camilo, yet he chooses mm-hmm. not to because yep. he doesn't think they're coming after us. The bard doesn't cast disguise self or anything.
Zyvir, our tiefling friend, can go invisible, but he didn't cast it at all. Because right. I was like, everybody was kind of like, oh crap, we know what's going on as players. But I was like, I don't know if you would think that necessarily as characters yourselves. So it was one of those things that they decided to just be like, okay, yeah, we wouldn't really suspect anything. We had this information about the captain. We probably think it's coming after him. Howie, on the other hand, did something because mm-hmm. he was closer to the guardrail of the ship than anybody else. So he jumps off and wild shapes into a crocodile and starts swimming away.
Right. You know, so I think I'm fine yep. Because no guards have really come up to me yet. And so my thinking is I'm suspicious. So I change forms. And so then I see Howie jump off. It's clear that this group is being attacked. He swims away. And as that's happening, and I'm starting to really just kind of still try to play it cool, these guards approach me and they come straight up to me. So I've got all these other crew around me and they just come straight for me and they don't say a word. And they won't say a word to any of us and won't yep. speak. They're just there to get the job done. And so yep. clearly these are knights that have abilities that I've never seen before. You know, as a Camilo, I'm assuming, you know, nobody's ever called me out on it before except maybe other Camilos who know the ability.
Right, who kind of can see the little quirks that aren't exactly quite the same. Right. Yeah, and so they slap these manacles on you guys and they basically strip you of all of your armor, all of your weapons, all of your material possessions that you had on you. And Admiral Notley's there, and he says, he shows you this piece of paper that they found, and they said, we found this in XDX's headquarters. It's a timeline of everything that's going to happen with the Cult of the Volcano. We found this in your things. You're under arrest. We're taking you to prison type thing. And so you guys walk the walk of shame through this courtyard that's full of people all the way up to Raven's Nest Prison, where you guys are just absolutely beaten every single day. Like, you're barely kept conscious all the time. Like, they want you to remember what's going on, but they want you to not only just mentally remember, but physically remember that you crossed the wrong people. You know, you guys are just getting beat up day after day after day. Well, Howie jumped over the boat. And this is where none of you, I don't think any of you really know what's happened at all.
No,
even to this day.
I have no idea what happened with Howie. So.
Yeah, and so he jumps over and he wild shapes. And so he swims down into the water so that nobody can see him. And he sees this interesting thing that just all of a sudden is out in the water. He's never seen anything like this before. It was this big steel tube that had like this glass window and a big propeller on the back of it. And he sees it go past him. And it's going straight for this, like, sandy embankment on the bottom of the water. Just looks completely sandy. And this transport keeps going, and it slowly starts to disappear into this sand. And eventually it goes away, and Howie sees this big glass window. He can see people inside of it walking around. He can see where the ship has gone in. It's turning around and backing in, and he sees people start getting out of the ship, and he swims in through that opening, and he meets none other than Dindis Firesprout, which you guys met a little bit later, but we'll get to that part of the story in a minute. So he meets this guy. He works this deal out with him, and they have this plan. They have this information about you and your group, that you're in prison, you're going to have a trial in 3 days. He says, we have a plan to break them out. And so then we jump back to you guys. It's day two in Raven's Nest Prison. You've been physically beaten for 2 days, day after day. You're chained to the wall. And then you see these little pebbles start flying in through your barred windows. And what happens at that point for you guys?
Right. So we're basically chained up against the wall, and we're being beaten, and I'm fuming because I kind of caught on to what was going on, and I still got caught.
Yep.
It's just a terrible experience. And all of a sudden, we see through the windows, the cell next to us, Howie. Or basically what we see is this red and gold mask that we've seen before, but we see these antlers coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see another red and gold mask coming out of the other window in the other cell. And basically they tell us that they're here to rescue us.
They kind of tell you to turn your faces because you might get hit with some chunks of concrete or block in your face. And how it's like, these masks you've seen before because they were the ones on the people that were blowing up the buildings in the main city just a couple of days ago. And so Howie's got this mask on now, and everybody's like, what in the world is going on here? Like, has Howie been a part of this group the whole time, and he's just not telling us? Like, what in the world is going on? And so he says, turn your face. This isn't going to be fun. The walls blow in, and you get hit with block and concrete and metal bars and things like that. They come in, and they mess with the bars so nobody can get in. You hear guards starting. You hear bells starting to ring, and you guys are starting to run through the city with this group. And you make it, and you're, like, dodging guards. I think I had you guys roll some stealth checks to make sure nobody was coming to try and find you. And you guys make it back, and you guys are all kind of like, this seems slightly familiar to us. Like, why does this place seem familiar? And they go up to the back of this door, and it's got this symbol, a B and an L on it. And they knock on the door, and they answer these questions. And the last question is, who is the man behind the mask? And then they say, it's Loshmar. He's the man behind the mask. And they open the door, and there standing in the door is Loshmar, the man who gave you guys a nice room to start your XDX company, who took you guys in, gave you good rates on your rooms. He's standing there. You're in the back of the Wolfpack Inn. And these guys, what happens from that point on?
Well, I remember this being a big moment for my character because, again, my character and his friend, Hanta, we started this business. This guy has been such a good friend to us, giving us this room at a discounted rate. And so I really like Loshmar. But this whole time I'm thinking, okay, the government is corrupt. Maybe there's something where the terrorists aren't that bad, but I still think they're terrorists, these red and gold masked people.
Right.
And I thought before they were the drug people, but maybe they're not the drug people. But basically, terrorists break us out of prison. And so I'm choosing the lesser of two evils, and I'm going with this terrorist group who's freeing me. But I don't plan on sticking around until I make it to the Wolfpack Inn and I see Loshmar's face. And then at that moment, it's when I'm still a little hesitant, but that's when Caesar, at least, sort of begins opening up to the idea of, I don't know, becoming a terrorist. So whatever that's worth.
Yeah, right.
So we go into this back room, and it just seems like a typical room that we're in. And then all of a sudden, we're led through this wall that's not really a wall.
Yeah, it's one of those illusions. Yeah, you see two guys walk through it, and as they walk through it, it dissipates. It's like an illusion. And so you see them get into this elevator-looking thing, and they make their way down. Like, their job is done. And so Loshmar talks with you guys for a little bit, and then he says, it's now your turn to go down. The elevator comes back up. You guys make your way down, and you're met by somebody who is the head of a group called the Flame Spitters. You've seen his name on bounty list boards before. His name is Dindus Firesprout. It was one of the original bounties that you guys picked up at the very beginning of the campaign, and so you meet him. He's wearing this gold and red outfit, very similar to the masks that were being worn, and you guys make your way down, and he basically says to you, welcome to the bounty list. This is where all of the people that are wrongly accused for things that the government is trying to put away reside, under the very city that the government of this whole Solarian Islands operates in. And so this is one of many different bounty lists. And so he goes through and explains all of this to you. And at the very end of the night, there was a ceremony for you guys, because you're now on the bounty lists all over the Solarian Islands, or at least on this island. You're on these bounty lists. And he takes you up, has these rings that are specially made for you. They're black with silver, the silver letters of B and L on them. He slips them on each of your fingers and says, welcome, you are now a part of the bounty list. And so at that moment, everybody's like, okay, what in the world is going on? Like, who are these people? Who's Alzog? Like, what is this even a real thing? Like, who's the cult of the volcano? We thought they were these people who are blowing up our city and trying to bring back this Balor demon of all things. What in the world is really going on with this whole chain of islands? Like, nobody's for sure knowing what's going on anymore.
Right, and this is one of the pivotal moments in my character's development. I mean, I can talk about this in a minute, but he completely changes, not really personality, but kind of how he sees the world in this moment. And it's just all these pieces begin coming together about, you know, Harlan Planer. He was the one who first mentioned the cult of the volcano and kind of connected this color scheme of gold and red and brown to us and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who sends us to Olako and Mount Valo to go check out all these things. And so we start to see that, okay, maybe these aren't the terrorists. Maybe these are, you know, these are the people that the government is trying to frame. And now all of a sudden we're realizing the terrorist group, this cult of the volcano, is probably connected to the government or Harlan Planer or something. At least we're starting to put those pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember my character, you know, he's this Camilo who sees the big city life and he sees merchants and all this gold and he's pretty swept away by this. And so he starts a business. And now we're at this point where I've got this business with my best friend and my tiefling friend. And there's these bounty hunters that we've kind of hired to be part of the group. And as a player, I started that to be something that bound the group together, and it just wasn't working. People weren't really interested in it. And, you know, so Bors and Solas, they were their bounty hunters, and so we tried doing bounty stuff with them. And then this sort of became the moment where the business was destroyed. All our money was gone. There's no more. No one's going to hire XDX since we're now criminal fugitives. The bounty hunters can no longer be bounty hunters because all of the bounties they're hunting are part of this group we're now a part of, and their names are on the list, and so no one's going to hire them in any city because they're fugitives, and they're not going to capture their own innocent people that we're now a part of. So this was probably one of my favorite moments in any D&D campaigns that I've played in, because it took my character's business stuff and broke it down. It took the bounty hunter, you know, section of our group and broke that down. And it took the weird deer person who was never really part of the group. And I could never really figure out how to get him connected. And it made him, and it kind of put us all together in this group.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be united, and we find out in future stories, which will be explained later, how we're really truly connected. But this player-wise and right now, at least character-wise, connected us. And I just thought it was a fantastic.
It was a lot of fun to watch all of your reactions because I knew going into it, I was like, nobody is going to guess that this is what's going on. Like, I've pretty much painted it in a picture that you're trying to prevent a Balor demon from coming back into existence, which very might well still be what's trying to go on. They just needed some sort of scapegoat, if you will, to pin everything on like they're doing their job. But now you know that somebody else than, you know, the cult of the volcano might still be a real thing. You just know that now the government is involved in some weird and messed up and twisted way. In what way fully, you're still not sure. And even when you're sure, you might not be sure. You may never trust me again with ever sending you on any sort of adventure. But
well, I'll just say that you as a DM, I think, did a great job of playing the different NPCs that we encountered in the positions we encountered them within the story. I just think the Javaris body double, for example, you played really well. Him planting some seeds of suspicion, but also not giving away too much information or knowing things that he wouldn't really know. And even just like Admiral Notley, I hate this guy because when we were going to leave to go encounter these drug addicts, I kept asking for health potions, and he gets barding for the dog that's in our group, but he won't give us health potions, and somehow he just didn't hear me. And, you know, I'm asking for this, and he just doesn't give it, which eventually I find out is because he might want us to just die. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his motives are, but I don't like him either. I don't like him. I don't like Harlan. I don't really like anybody right now. I've sort of given up on city life. I don't like government. I just want to go back home to my Camilo people, but I feel like I'm on this mission to protect them. So I've abandoned my business. I've abandoned my pursuits of wealth, and I'm just going back to my traditional ways and trying to stop demons, I guess.
Yeah, and there was this moment where everybody's like, well, we're not doing this anymore. I guess we could just go anywhere in the world, just get on a boat and do our own thing. And I was like, all right, well, we both know that's not going to happen. And then in a future story time, we'll find out how you guys are all corralled back into continuing on this adventure in the Salarian Islands. But until then, keep listening to all the other episodes that are coming out, and we hope that you enjoyed this week's story time.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters, and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.